it's Kristen and Chill. You made it back to another episode. That's awesome. Sorry I've been so inconsistent with putting out the show. I hope you guys have subscribed so that you just get notified when a new show comes out, since I can't tell you when one will. Not that I don't want to, it's just because I can't. Life is all over the place at the moment, but the minute it's not all over the place, I look forward to doing the show more consistently again. And in preparation to do the show more consistently again, for whenever that is, I need to change the name again, and I don't want to do this. I have been procrastinating, thinking about this. I've pretended it doesn't exist. I've put it in the closet, and now I've opened the closet, and a billion things are falling at me, including a couple skeletons, a couple things of shame that I haven't wanted to deal with, clothes, sweaters, cheap clothes. All I do is buy really shitty cheap clothes, and they just keep piling up, and I hate all of it, and then I have nothing to wear. But all that's coming out of the closet, along with not my sexuality, but the need to change the name of the show. I put it away, I hid it under the bed, and it's back to haunt me. I don't really think I can stick with Kristen and Chill because that's the name of my dating business. And I say business like it's an actual business or something. It is, but I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I started an LLC and stuff, but it's just floating there. I don't know how to connect the LLC to like a bank account or to my taxes. I'm so confused and overwhelmed with it. So the term business is a little overinflated, but I'll use it just because it's a fake it till you make it thing. One day I really will be like, wow, this is a legit business. And it's a business. I just am not operating it like an adult. I'm operating it like a drunk child. And anyway, it's Kristen and Chill, the name of the business. And I can't think of another name for the dating business thing because all the other names that come to me are cheesy, like really cheesy, like the love professor or something. Luckily, that has not come to me. And I do apologize in advance to anyone who does have a business called the love professor. I respect you and your ability to not feel cheesy, but I don't have the same ability. And so anything I'm coming up with just doesn't sound right. Because I think dating in general and the whole love idea or whatever just inherently is a little cheesy. So anything I've come up with is a no. And so I figure it's easier to change the name of the podcast because there's probably more avenues to go with a podcast name that's not cheesy. Not that I've thought of one yet, which I'll get to in a second. But I didn't realize when I changed the name from Mentally Chill to Kristen and Chill that down the road, all of a sudden it hit me. Wait a second. Kristen and Chill actually works better with dating because of Netflix and Chill. And changing it to Kristen and Chill originally was a little bit of a play, of course, on Netflix and Chill, but it was more so because it worked with Mentally Chill. Because the show was originally Mentally Chill, and I wanted to change it because of the background, etc., and loosen up the reins on the intenseness of the show. And so Mentally Chill seemed like a natural transition, or Kristen and Chill seemed like a natural transition from Mentally Chill. But then again, doing the dating thing, it's like, ah, shoot, I need that for the dating business. And I thought for a little bit that I could meld the two worlds. Like, it could just be my overarching brand. Like, I'm just Kristen and Chill. My brand is Kristen and Chill. But the two things are so different. A dating business where I'm teaching guys how to talk to women and be better versions of themselves. It couldn't be any more opposite than the podcast Kristen and Chill, which is wallowing in not bettering yourself, but also kind of trying, but enjoying the wallowing. So the two worlds just don't blend. So I started a Twitter page. And I thought, okay, I'll just post stuff for the podcast and the dating business on one page. But they're just two different things. Like, one's like talking about how to text a chick. And then the other one would be about like not wanting to get out of bed in the morning. It just, it's really hard to blend. So since I don't have a Nutra Ninja and I'm not able to blend the two, I think I got to change the name of the podcast. I don't want to, but I think I have to. And part of me telling you this is to let you know that I don't have an idea for a name yet. So if you're really bored, I know you're already bored because you're listening to this, but if you're even more bored and you want to try to think of a name for the podcast, I am open to suggestions. I don't have any great ideas yet. And I say yet, like I will have a great idea eventually, which I won't. But all I can think of right now would be like, I don't know, My Dumb Brain with Kristen Carney. I keep adding my name to it because I don't know. I want to feel important. Another name, Rather Be Asleep with Kristen Carney. But then I don't know if that sounds like sleeping, like sexual with me. And then someone I've never wanted to give in to this whole like your last name is Carney thing. But someone recently was like, you've got to use your last name, Carney. And so I don't know, like, you know, Carney Carnival, the Carnival, like Carney-Val. But that doesn't really explain at all what the show would be about. Then I had another idea called Loner and Friends, like the irony of like, I'm a loner. And here are my friends. I don't know. I don't know. So if you guys can think of something catchy, but the problem is, I think the show, it's because it's, this is so typical of me. I can never be decisive and just say, it's going to be this. Because I wanted to transition out of it being just mental health, but then I got afraid to do that completely. So, I mean, I have held on to the mental health stuff a little, but I do think it's important to talk about still. But then the other side of the show is basically overthinking, overanalyzing, talking about minutiae and really dissecting really mundane things. For whatever reason, I love dissecting not cats, not frogs, not pigs, but the mundane. I love just pining over the smallest details of things. So there's two sides to the show. So it's like, does the name focus more on the mental health side? I don't want it to focus on it too much because that's not exactly what it fully is. But then I also don't want to just focus on the minutiae overthinking side because then I think it doesn't encapsulate the full scope of the show. So blah, I'm going to stop talking now. I'm going to let you guys listen to the episode. But if you can think of anything, feel free to hit me up on Instagram or Twitter or email me. I'm on Twitter at Kristen Carney and on Instagram at Chris Carn. And then also the email you could hit me up at would be contact@kristenandchill.com. And yeah, I don't know. If you have any thoughts, let me know. So this episode this week is all about getting out of your comfort zone. And I'm being thrown into the lion's den of discomfort. I went on a trip to Vermont with resident consultant Jen and her in-laws. I have a trip coming up to Atlanta in like a business sense, which is very uncomfortable for me. And then I know this doesn't sound that bad, and I'm going to get into it in the show. I don't need to repeat it now. But I'm also going to Cancun, which sounds like fun. Well, it sounds like fun if you're into Girls Gone Wild or something. Is that a thing anymore? That cannot be a thing. I can't even believe it was a thing as recently as it was Girls Gone Wild. But anyway, my sister is going. I've never really had a tropical vacation in my entire life. And my sister was feeling really bad for me because I basically was like, I feel like dying. And so she was like, I want you to come to Cancun with her and her in-laws, essentially. So three trips of like, you know, where I'm not really in control. I'm staying on, you know, other people's dimes, essentially, and sleeping on a couch and all that kind of stuff. But I need the change of scenery. So I'm talking a lot about pushing yourself out of your comfort zone because it is good for you ultimately. It just takes a lot of mental energy. So yeah, but resident consultant Jen bought me a journal for Christmas that we mentioned on the show, and I've been using it and I've really been enjoying it. But it's essentially a goal-driven journal. And one of my goals in the journal was to travel more this year. And so I do feel good about these three trips right back to back because I'm checking off some boxes in my journal. I could care less about the actual traveling. I just like the act of checking a box, just filling it in, whether you use an X or a check mark or you fill in the circle thing. If you guys have things on your boxes you want to check, do it. It feels good. It feels good. It really does. I want to give a quick shout out to new Patreon people, which I haven't done in a while. And I feel lots of heavy guilt for not doing that. So I want to say thanks to Steven, Natasha, Chris, Anonymous Contributor, which is my favorite name of all time, and Jeff. So big thanks for joining the cult and letting me be your cult leader and your mother. And if you guys want to join Patreon, you can do that. Just go to patreon.com/Kristen and Chill, which I'm sure will change soon because of the stupid name change for the podcast. But again, right now it's patreon.com/Kristen and Chill, and there's goodies and extras and other things up there that you may find interesting. And I just did a live stream last week, which was really fun. Gonna be doing more of those. So if you guys ever want to join in and just chit chat and hang out, I'm there. So on that note, Jen and I get a little distracted by her a family. I put in quotation marks because they're not blood relatives. Okay, Jen, you're not really related. They come in from skiing and we get a little bit thrown off, but otherwise I'm not going to make any apologies for this week's episode. Just kidding. I apologize just in general for my entire existence. So I hope you guys are doing well and I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Please share the show with a friend. I am not just saying that to say it. I am so serious. Share the show. Share the show on Instagram, on your Instagram stories. Share it on Twitter. Share it when you're out to dinner. Share it when you're hooking up with someone. No one loves having a conversation about podcasts more than people having sex. Share the show whenever you can. And I'm not going to ask you to rate because I just asked you to share the show with a friend. And I do ask you to rate at the end, so I won't be redundant. So anyway, enjoy this week's show.
Give me my blanket.
I'm sitting on it. It's very comfortable. Do you want that blanket?
No.
Do you want a blanket?
No.
So I was hoping last night when I went to bed that this blanket was going to be on the bed.
I took it off.
It was freezing. And I don't know how you were wearing a tank top last night.
I know.
And it was
because
freezing.
I eat food regularly.
That's a good point. Food blanket. It's really what you're wearing all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
It was freezing. It was 66.
Yep.
That's too cold for sleeping temperature. 68, 69.
It was 68, but it was 68 the night before, and I woke up dying and dried out. I'd rather be freezing.
I understand. I would also rather be freezing if I didn't have night sweats from the antidepressant I'm on when it's too cold. And you said, are you still hot? And I said, it's not that I'm hot. I don't sweat when I'm hot. I get night sweats when I'm cold, which is so weird.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning I woke up wet with night sweats. Not
wet.
Pee.
You woke up wet.
I peed myself.
Well, that's because you were in bed with me.
I know. That was my pee stream. I heard your pee stream, by the way. Very strong. Very nice.
Yes, thank you.
And it seemed like you went the entire way. You didn't cut off because you were in a hurry. Like you did.
I have
a
really big penis. I'm joking. I don't think it has anything to do with that. That's your theory. Mine is just health, I think, if you're healthy.
Health and wellness. Do you think I have a light pee stream? I mean, no, we didn't really. I'm not going to get into pee streams heavily.
Oh, jeez.
But we didn't declare whether or not I have a, or did we? Whether or not you think I have a strong pee
stream. I thought
we
said the jury's still out.
I think, yeah. I think I said Elaine was like me, but they never said what I was like.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a consistent pee stream, or an inconsistent pee stream, very based on mood.
And hydration.
I've been drinking a lot of water. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm talking about why I'm hearing you pee and the temperature is because I came up with you and your in-laws to Vermont to go skiing. And so what I want to talk a lot about is pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and your boundaries, because I'm in a condominium with your in-laws. I wouldn't even want to be with my own in-laws if I ever had them, which I never will. But going to stay the weekend with someone else's in-laws is not something I would ever normally do on my own,
volition.
It was truly to push myself out of my boundaries or out of my comfort zone. And I'm glad that I did it. But this is really a strange scenario. Your friend's husband's family and their kids in a place with them, taking up their bed that they paid for, sleeping with the sister's husband. I'm just kidding. And so for me and my personality type, this is really hard.
Yeah.
But I think I'm doing well, and I think it's good exposure therapy.
It is. I think so too. They're easy too, which makes it easier. There's no one you really have to tiptoe around.
Very true. Very true.
Besides Alex.
I never met their kids. I never met her husband. I never met the other sister. So to my credit, coming up here, I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And so when you come to a scenario like this, and it's like, I don't know these people. I don't know what they're going to be like. I'm going to be in their space. It's very daunting. It's an emotionally draining task.
Right.
And I mentally prepared for it because I did talk to my therapist a little bit about it.
You did?
Yeah, because this month, February into March, is going to be me really pushing myself into uncomfortable scenarios that I need to. And that, like, when you're depressed or you're a little introverted or antisocial, you do really anything to avoid these kind of scenarios. But I'm here. So I'm in Vermont in said family's condominium. And now in like 2.5 weeks... or 3 weeks, I'm going to Atlanta, and I'm staying with Marnie, my co-host from my other podcast, because we're going to this convention thing in Atlanta. But I'm basically a tag-along in that scenario because it's her hotel room. I don't know any of these people, and they're all people that Marnie's known for a long time and worked with and stuff. So I'm putting myself in this situation, which to anyone else doesn't sound that scary. And it's not scary. It just sounds daunting. So I'm going from this in Vermont to that in Atlanta. And then I'm going straight from Atlanta to Cancun.
It's rough.
Which sounds terrible. But I'm not going to Cancun in a comfortable situation. I'm going with my sister and her in-laws. And I'm staying on their couch. And so I'm having no privacy. And I'm going on these three little trips that aren't mine. And I'm the third wheel in a sense. And I'm not on my own schedule. Or I'm part of the group, and that is really, really, really hard. Mm-hmm. So this month, when I look at it, I was like, oh God, I got to go to Vermont, and then I got to go to Atlanta, and then I got to go to Cancun. Normally, that would be exciting, because I do like to travel. But when I'm doing it with people that I don't really know.
Strangers.
Yeah, and it's like I'm not doing these trips on my own volition, because it's not my money. Like in all three scenarios, I'm crashing. It's like I feel like a 20-year-old crashing on a couch. But I know that I need the change of scenery, and I've kind of hit that low point in a sense where I'm so desperate to have a change of scenery and to stimulate my brain that I am willing to stay with people.
Yeah.
Like that's how bad it is, that I'm willing to socialize. I've been pushed to the brink. So here I am enjoying myself. And this was very nice.
And if you stayed one night more, I'd make you stay in the room with them.
And not so I'm definitely leaving.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. They're not bad, and I really like them. And I do think it is so much based on the people, because if they were not easy people and if they were kind of judgmental.
Yeah.
If they were like me, essentially, it would be really hard to be with them.
Well, I'm glad that we could host you because, you know, We came here for you.
You didn't.
No, it's been good. I just wish
that
you...
Should be a tax write-off, like you guys are doing something.
I know.
Like volunteer-wise for society.
I really wish that you played games, though, with us.
I did play games, not last night, but the night before.
What did you play?
Oh,
Telestrations, yeah.
Yeah. And I did well. Mm-hmm. And this is no alcohol, you know. Mm-hmm. And not that I need it, but, you know, I was enjoying myself with...
I forgot we played that. But I learned that new game is really fun.
The Azul.
I didn't think I was going to like it, but it's really fun.
It looks too difficult for me to understand.
No, it's not, because I thought that too. That's why I get intimidated. But once you learn it, It's fun.
Yeah. Well, I think when someone's in this situation of pushing themselves out of their comfort zone and trying to be social and trying to be quote unquote normal, you hit like a wall where you're like, ah, right, enough is enough. So I do, even though I've been here, I have been keeping my distance in a sense, but it's baby steps. It's like, this is my baby step warm up for Cancun, because going with my sister's in-laws, I don't really know, I know them, but I don't really know them. I don't have anything to really talk to them about. So this is like easy warm up compared to, I think, how that's going to be, especially because I'm not going to have any privacy because I'm sleeping on the couch and they all wake up at like 7. So it's going to be really tough. But I hate saying first world problems, but this is like first world problems.
Yeah. And that's like we get up very early here.
I've stayed in the room. I'm lucky to have a private room. They all woke up early and went skiing yesterday, right 8:30 a.m. bright and early. I stayed asleep until probably like 10 or something, and then went after and skied alone. So I still have a hard time intermixing. So I'm here, but I'm not here.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always said that I love about stand-up comedy, is that you're social, but you're not. It's like you're on stage and you're with people, but you're not with people.
Right.
And so I'm still kind of doing that boundary thing. And I don't know if it's an excuse that I'm falling back on of like, oh, well, I sleep late. Or is it I'm sleeping late because it's too much to then also ski together with these people I don't know that well. Well, that's then going to get into whole social etiquette thing of the skiing stuff.
Oh, well, I was just going to say yesterday, I feel like that was your way of, I'm tired, is your way of like,
exiting.
An avoidance. I'm tired. And then you were like asleep for a long time.
A really long time. So last night it was also that wall. So I came home, or I came back to the condo. Everyone was already here and dinner was being made. I hung around, had a, you know, social time, had dinner. And then after that, it was kind of like, it's two-sided. One side is that I'm done. Like, I feel like, okay, now mentally drained from being social and participating. But then the other side is I am a stranger and I don't like to overstay my welcome. And so last night I realized, because I had a little bit of a buzz because I went to the bar after skiing real quick by myself and had a beverage, and it hit me kind of hard. And so when I came back and your brother-in-law, is that what he'd be called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was asking me my favorite movies. I heard myself after, I was being really opinionated and kind of obnoxious, because I was like, well, this is a good movie. That's not a good movie. I don't like the way she did this. I'm not a big fan of that. And I felt obnoxious. And it was my way of being like, all right, I'm going to quiet down now because that was annoying. And you guys probably want a break from this girl who you don't know.
Yeah, no. I could see that in certain situations, but you were interacting with probably the most annoying, opinionated man I've ever met in my life.
Well,
so,
and that's
fine.
Right, exactly. But that's it, because I knew he was opinionated and annoying, not from knowing him, but from what you've told me. And I felt like I was overshining him. So I'm like, oh, that must mean I'm really annoying.
Yeah.
Because if he's up here and I'm out, he didn't seem like he had the like strength to kind of deal with me, that I just felt like I was too much. But that's a thing too that I think parents instill in you, like with you when I was younger, I would go to your house a lot or stay over, and I loved going to your house. And my mom, and a lot of parents say this, but she'd say, don't overstay your welcome. And it'd be like, but I'm having fun.
Yeah.
So I might have a little bit of that
yeah
mentality of like, I don't want to overstay my welcome. Like, I'm leaving today and I probably could stay, but I don't want to overstay my welcome. But at the same time, I also want to leave.
Yes, you do.
Because you're annoying.
Well, I feel bad because I usually am not this inside during this trip.
Yeah.
As I am this, but I kind of went into this trip like, I need to just relax and work on this thing. And then yesterday I had a headache, but I'm usually like I've cross country skied. I go down to like the bar like you did, but I haven't done any of that.
Yeah.
And I think I'm confusing Paul, because every time he sees me, he's like, what do you want to do? Like, what? And I just,
well, because you're an active person.
Yeah. I've just been very indoorsy, but I think it's just because I'd feel guilt if I didn't do this portfolio.
But do you think you need it? You need the break, because you're a 9 to 5, always out the door.
Yeah. No, I think when they get back, I'll probably go for, it's sunny out and I know it's cold, but I brought stuff. I'm going to go for like a walk or something.
Well, it's also, I feel like I'm rubbing off on you.
Probably.
Which is pathetic, and I don't want to rub off.
And I usually
I'd rather rub off on you like drugs or something than just being like a
like
hermit
feeding me alcohol or something.
I know.
No, and I usually also do a day trip to Burlington every time I'm here too.
Right. What are you doing?
I don't. You.
I do think it's me. I know.
No. No, because I could be more. It's this thing. It's weighing on me.
Well, when I woke up and I came upstairs, I didn't know if you were going to be here. And I sneezed and you said, bless you. And I was like, oh, but I thought you might be gone. I assumed you were going to be working out or doing something. So I'm sorry for bringing you down.
No, it's really fine. So I'll just regret it a lot later.
Good. So the whole pushing yourself thing, pushed myself here. And then going skiing yesterday, this is a legitimate mountain where there's enough people and they're ski savvy enough that there's ski etiquette. And I've forgotten about ski etiquette, that would even exist. And I was breaking all the etiquette yesterday.
How?
You're killing me.
Sorry. Oh, is this for me? Are you talking to me?
Yes. Asshole.
I'm just joking. Okay. How did you break ski etiquette?
Thanks for batting it back to me. There's the chairlift where normally when I've skied, because I'm going to like a dinky hill and usually when it's quiet, and yesterday was a Sunday, so it was very crowded and I'm skiing alone, and the chairlift is a two-person chairlift, and so you've got to ride with another single.
I wouldn't like that either.
It's awful.
Because it's a really long ride.
It's a really long ride. Mm-hmm. So I rode with someone, I probably went up the chairlifts. They're very long and they're very slow and they take a long time. So I probably only went up maybe like 8 times or 7 times or something. 2 of the times I went alone, the rest I went with a stranger. And I was trying so hard to get away with not going with a person. And as someone who's a social, I'm aware of the social etiquette stuff. I never want to be the asshole. But in this scenario, it was like, cut me some slack. I've been riding with people all day long alone. And yes, you may have to wait like one chair more to get to the top of the mountain, but just deal with it. And normally I'm not that person. Normally I'll suck it up and like do the correct social etiquette. So there was a kid in front of me with his, it looked to be either his like girlfriend or sister or something. And then they had a little kid with them. So there's 3. Obviously, one of them's going to ride with the little kid. He's like, please don't ride with the little kid. I can do the little kid. Not literally. So the girl ended up going with the little kid and the guy was alone, but he was in front of them. So there was a space between me and him. And he didn't really look friendly. He looked youngish, where he was too cool for school kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe self-conscious. And so I just was like, fuck it. I'm not reaching out to him. If he wants to look back and be like, are you a single? He knew I was standing there. I was like behind them the whole time. If he wanted to look back at me and say, are you single? I'd be like, sure, and just do it. But I'm like, I'm just going to leave it out there. I'm not taking the step to be the social etiquette guru. So of course, this girl behind me, which I understand the whole etiquette thing, but like, mind your P's and Q's. Mm-hmm. I'm alone. Clearly things aren't going well. I'm by myself.
Right.
So can you not like bring more attention to it? So she poked me on the shoulder and she said, are you a single? Are you going to go with him? Really loud, and it was really embarrassing. And so I know that she was following the etiquette, but then breaking social etiquette in terms of me, making me look
bad.
Yeah, it's like, don't embarrass me like that. So I said, who's single? Like, I tried to act. I played dumb, which I am embarrassed that I played dumb. And I said, oh, I didn't think about it. And I tried to just play it off. So I went alone, but then she was behind me the whole ride, probably going, this girl's an asshole. So I felt like a dick. So the whole ride up, I'm aware that I'm breaking the etiquette.
Yes.
And no one's thinking about it as much as I am.
Mm-hmm.
But it was weighing on me. And so I was enjoying myself. But the whole time I'm like, oh, you know, now next time I go down to the chairlift, this is a thing. I got to make sure I do it right. But then I did reject one girl. And I just didn't want to have the conversation. I just rode up with some guy who was like lecturing me. And
about what?
About the way like these mountains work. Like, I wasn't that interested and I tried to go along with it. Like, oh yeah, that mountain and this mountain. It just took energy. Then this younger girl, when I was in line, was behind me and she was really sweet. She was probably like 14 or something and I could have ridden with her. And she said, like, single, right? Like, ride. And I just said, I said, I have to make a phone call and I don't want to be annoying, which was a total lie. I just didn't have it in me. So then, as she's riding behind me, I know she can see me. I had to pick up the phone and pretend I'm on the phone to go through with my lie. But I will say it was worth the lie because it's a beautiful sight. And when you're feeling like you have to talk to someone next to you, You don't take in your surroundings, mm-hmm. and it's beautiful. And I just want to say, for my mental health,
right,
I really
you
need to ride
just
alone.
Said that to her.
Well, there should be a band that you wrap on your arm or like on your back. It just says like, this will damage my mental health riding with a stranger.
Right.
But also it will help your mental health because then you're forced to talk to people that you don't normally.
I don't think that helps at all. Like, I don't know. I don't
no,
like
it
doing
does
that
help.
Either.
It, a little, it could be a little painful, but it does help a little because the few people that I did ride up with, once you get into the
bad,
flow.
And then after, at the end, you feel better.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that was nice. I just talked to this kid. He was very nice and lovely. And then we parted ways. And it woke my brain up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But doing it every single time, it's exhausting. But then, what's worse? I know you're going to listen to this and you're like, I didn't say a word. It was terrible. Pipe in.
I know.
You got it in you. You do.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I do.
Thank you.
Okay.
So pipe in when you want to pipe in, Palmer lady. So now I forgot what I was going to say.
When you're there with someone you know.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Then does that take energy to sit in the chairlift with them every single time and make conversation? Or I'm just overthinking it and it's really not that much pressure?
It depends the level of how you know them. Like if I was sitting next to Paul or it wouldn't, I feel like that's no energy.
Well, yeah,
I
don't, obviously.
You don't have to say anything if you don't want to.
Yeah, but it's your husband.
It's strangers kind of. So, I would rather be with a stranger who is a talker.
Me too. It makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing is that the few people that I did ride with, except the one guy who was kind of lecturing me, they were not the aggressors. I had to be the aggressor and make the conversation. And it's like, you have to weigh what is harder. Is it harder to sit in silence and be awkward? Or is it harder to make conversation? Mm-hmm. It's harder to sit in silence and be awkward. So I'll make the conversation.
Mm-hmm. It's a long time.
Yeah. And those lifts are really slow. They're really torturing people like me. They could step it up like half a mile an hour or something. It's very, very slow.
It's kind of like, what's that? Sorry, I'm not from a city, but what's like the Uber where you like go in with a stranger?
Pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Uber pool, there's less pressure to talk.
Is there?
Okay. Yeah. It's like you're all aware that you're just trying to save money and you're not doing this for social reasons. Whereas the chairlift, obviously you're not doing it for social reasons, but it's a pleasant experience. It's a pleasantry kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Uber, it's a logistic thing.
Yeah.
Like I have to be in here because I have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost changes the dynamic, I think. And also a lot of people don't like to talk in Ubers because I used to drive Uber. So I know.
Yeah. But I think the chairlift thing too is like, it's the nature of you have to, because they want it to go be more efficient. So you're forced to.
Right. Yeah. Because if every single person rides alone, then you're just making the line that much longer.
And you're also going somewhere that you're looking forward to going. Whereas Uber, you're probably like wherever you're going, you're not really looking forward to
unless
it.
It's home.
Yeah.
Or straight into the ocean.
Yeah.
Can you just like drop me off where the octopuses live? Octopi live? Octopodi?
Octopussies. That's like a James Bond, isn't it? Name of a movie?
Octopussies?
Isn't it?
Can't be.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
If it is, it's amazing.
My brain is like fried right now. Sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
I don't have any ski etiquette.
Because you don't ski.
Because I don't ski. I tried many times, but I just don't.
It is a scary thing, and I can't believe that this many people are willing to just fly down a mountain directly at a tree and let their children do it. And
like, yeah.
It's very dangerous.
Like today, I was listening to my sister-in-law ask her son, like, what do you want to do tomorrow? Or yesterday, she said it. And he was like, I want to ski. And I was just like, oh my God.
Right.
Like, you want to do this.
Well, there's 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds that maybe don't want to do it because they have no choice at that point. But their parents are just throwing on these like jet blades. And there's like, here, break your neck.
And they like fast. And they're like, oh, this is fun. And how do you get them to like make the pizza and not the French fry?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And actual pizzas and actual French fries.
That's more my speed.
I do kind of appreciate the parents that do that, even though I don't know if I had kids, how willingly I would be like, yes, go ahead. Just because
it's
like the same equivalent of being a teenager. Well, I was a great teenager. I was very, but being like, you know, a slutty 31-year-old and you know, like that phase is going to happen, how bad it is and letting them do it still. It's like with skiing, I know how dangerous it is because I do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I watched my youngest nephew learn how to ski, and I remember one time his mom was with him and he just like went and he was just like flying down the hill.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't know.
I wonder if these parents are like, you know, it won't, it, if something happens, it happens.
Yeah.
I didn't really want a kid to begin with.
They're also,
I'm not going to get in trouble because it's skiing.
If they fall though, there's, you know, they're short, so they're not going to hurt themselves that much.
Well, I, when I,
unless it's into a tree.
Right.
But, directly.
Yeah. But even then, I think with the little body weight, you're not going as fast or something.
Yeah. And I do think skiing is all about not being tense. And that's why I'm so bad at it.
Yeah. You really have
because
to be.
Because if you're, whoosh, yes, whoosh, if whoosh. You're tense, it's just like people look, people then, who are learning to ski look so ridiculous.
There's nothing more embarrassing.
You could be like a successful college professor who has all this, and you're like a terrible skier and you look like so special.
Okay. Would you rather?
What?
Throwback to the old, I used to do this. Would you rather walk around with pee on your butt in pants, like you just peed your pants, or be in front of a crowd learning how to ski? Which one's more embarrassing?
Pee in my pants.
Really?
Yeah, I hate, especially physical things, if I'm not good at them, I tend to like shut down.
Well, it's, I think because you look so vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you really have to swallow your pride. Mm-hmm. And with pee, you gotta swallow your pride.
And everybody pees.
Right.
Not everybody skis.
It doesn't make you look as weak.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe you fell into some water. Maybe it wasn't pee.
Yep.
Peeing your pants is the coolest.
I know, I was just thinking about that. Yeah. And I think I've always had an issue if I'm not good at like a sport or if I'm not good at, like, I give up easily. So it makes sense that I don't ski.
Yeah. I think if you started early, you
but
would.
But I'll continue to blame my parents for it. For not putting me on skis when
I
was three.
For everything. Well, I blame my parents for putting me on skis, but then never taking me anywhere but the tiny little mountain near us.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, you ski? Yeah, but not really.
It's actually, and you were saying that your grandparents grew up near, or they lived near Snowbird, and you never skied once?
Never. That's embarrassing.
That's like Paul's heaven.
Right.
Is skiing out west. Like, it's so different.
Yeah. And every time we went there, because no one in my family skis or does anything adventurous, you take a ride. You drive in the car. Oh, look at the mountain. Look at all the people like, doing things.
I like the drive.
I
like the walk. I'd walk.
Yeah, it's so boring. Mm. But my family's always been a observer of things and not a doer of things.
Yeah.
And that has made me angry in a lot of ways. But also, I enjoy it in a sense because I think it's a shtick in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, what's the difference? Because I never wanted to be an outdoorsy girl with the rack on her car and bumper stickers of like, you know,
that kind of like that either.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I didn't turn out like that. But it would have been nice if my parents like, you know, did one thing. But they just love riding and looking, riding and looking,
simple
riding
people.
And looking. Very simple. And my dad always says and has a philosophy is like, what's the difference? You know, wherever you go, it's just there you are kind of thing. And you're just going to end up eating dinner just like you would anywhere else. It's not that exciting. But it's, again, because he's never really experienced anything.
But it's pretty big that you were just skied and like went skiing. It's pretty big that they put you in skiing.
I know. I can't believe that they did. And I think I pushed them too because we had ski club in school. And
I think I have the wrong burner on. Can I go check this?
Yeah, because it's not. Yeah.
Keep talking.
No, I'm not going to keep talking. I'm hitting pause. So what were you just saying?
I'm glad that your parents put you into skiing.
I am too. Can't believe they did it. I think I pushed them to put me into skiing
because
I wasn't good at anything. And I thought that I could maybe be decent at that. That's something I feel like feels right. And then ski club was like once a week and it was like the best night of the week. We had nighttime skiing.
Yeah.
It was really fun. You'd go have like a nice warm hot dog inside. It was very cozy.
Skiing's also very pretentious.
Right. And then the way we did it, it wasn't pretentious because.
But I think that's why you like it now.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a look.
Yes.
It's a vibe. Mm-hmm. But I do think snowboarding would give me an edge.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to fake who I am. At this point, you know who you are.
No, I think skiing's cooler than snowboarding.
Maybe because it's coming back around.
Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah. Because it was before. Almost embarrassing when all the kids snowboarded and you skied because you were like the uptight nerd or something.
You know who's amazing at snowboarding?
Who?
Bethany Frankel.
I could see that. She's so athletic looking.
You should
her
watch her videos. Like
I can see it.
Like she's not even effortless.
Yeah.
But like
There are some people who are just born with the ability to do things.
I know. I bet you Jess Wilczek would be a great snowboarder.
She would be great at snowboarding.
Yeah.
I almost feel like she has snowboarded.
No, I bet you she hasn't, and we'd put her on there and she'd be great.
Right. Yeah, it's not fair. Because no. I want to be good at stuff. Yeah. I want to be effortless.
Mm-hmm.
And skiing, I'm not terrible by any means. And I think if I did it more often, I would be a lot better. But the etiquette thing gave me a little anxiety, but I'm fine. I broke out of my shell in a sense of, not shell, because I can talk to anyone. It's just the effort. Do I have the effort to talk to anyone? So then after skiing, went to the bar, had a little beverage, was approached by a male, which really doesn't happen often.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see it. It's like when you know someone's going to pounce.
And I wish I saw this male, because I feel like you automatically turn it off when you're not in the right place.
No, I'm discerning.
When you're not in the right...
No, I know who this person is. I know it's not going to work. I'm probably turning it off, yes, but also I'm impatient now. I know who I am. I know what I'm looking for. Yeah, and I don't need to think like, well, maybe, because I don't want to be that desperate. I only like what I like now, and I'm cool with it.
When is the last time you were with someone you didn't know that you were like, oh, well, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know if this person counts as I don't know them.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. And I just mean being like out and being like, you see somebody.
Oh, well, yes.
Oh,
recently,
yes. Starbucks.
The Starbucks guy.
Yeah.
I was really, and I've driven by that Starbucks a couple times because I'm not going there as much because it's really, really cold in there. And I can barely type on my computer. My fingers don't move. It's so cold. Starbucks, I know you're not listening, but it's like, just because you're a corporation doesn't mean you actually have to be like physically cold. You can be cold in your heart, but like you don't have to make your stores cold.
Maybe they don't know. Maybe you should have told them.
I've written to them.
Oh my God.
Because I like going to Starbucks. It's predictable. I know what drink I can get. Ugh. I know what the energy is going to be like, the atmosphere. And then I have to leave because I didn't bring enough layers for my fingers. Anyway, that kid that was at Starbucks.
Man.
That guy. Man, he's a professor. Totally. The minute we started, there's something when you communicate, you can get a sense of someone instantly. And I instantly, even though looking at him from afar for several months, I was like, nah. But the minute we communicated, there were words exchanged. I was like, oh, wow. So if this guy at the bar here at the Ski Lodge had the right words or the right energy right off the bat, you know, I would be like, oh, okay. But I'm not going to push it and look for it unless it's like really, really there.
But you got a ride from him, which is hilarious.
I did. It's like, got to make use of it somehow. And I thought, well, I've already pushed myself this far. I'm at this place with this family. I've been riding the chairlift all day long with people I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get back to the condo thing. So what the hell? I'll ride in the car with some people I don't know. And that took a lot of energy. But I was also aware that the ride was really short from there to here.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can do that. And it's, again, you weigh what's harder, especially if you're someone like me and everything takes tons of energy, you're always weighing, okay, what's more energy? What's more energy? So for me, it was more energy at that point to figure
to
out
walk.
How to get up here
mm-hmm.
than it was to just pop in the car with some dude who was just hitting on me.
Well, my sister-in-law for no said, rape. I'll go get her. And I was like, nah.
I'm glad you didn't put me through that. Because then that's like, oh, small talk.
Yeah. But she's an easy person to small talk
with. She is. Yes, I like her a lot. I'm very lucky that I am in a scenario this weekend or this week with people that are easy. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about, things I tell my therapist segment. I would tell my therapist this week that I'm annoyed that you're not talking more right now.
Yeah, I know.
You talk mad game. And I think I'll get to the fact that I didn't put out the last show.
No, can I talk about how, because it's always on your terms.
Yes, it's got to be on my
if
terms.
It's not, like the last few times we've done this, I've like been nervous about having to do something, having to get home or and I'm just thinking about that and I'm not totally checked in. And that's going to be my excuse for not being likable too. But yeah, so right now I'm thinking, okay, Paul's going to get back and he's going to be like, how's your portfolio? I'm like, it's not done yet.
It's
and
almost
I'm
going to
be
done.
Sitting in my pajamas and not being active and not like the place isn't that clean. Like I've done enough like that stuff. It's your fault.
I know it is.
And that's what I'm thinking about right now.
I understand you're preoccupied.
Yes.
That's what I was when we taped a couple weeks ago that I didn't put out.
Yeah.
So we taped, you, me, and Kyle taped. I was super preoccupied and I wanted to cancel, but I knew you had plans to drive in a very long way. And I was like, either I can cancel and make Jen mad because she's already got this is her day planned and driving an hour and 20 minutes, or I cannot cancel and try really hard to do an okay job, but know that I'm just going to not do well today and then maybe waste Jen and Kyle's time. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a conundrum because either way, you were going to be mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel bad because you were in the zone.
I was.
You were very much in the
I
zone.
Was. Yeah.
But I wasn't in the zone at all. And I just, you know, want to look good.
I know.
It's my name on.
I know. And it's always on your terms.
I know it is.
Always.
Well, let's make this your terms.
No, it can't be.
Do what we can. Put a pillow away.
No.
It's too late.
It's too late.
But why can't you snap into it? What about your brain doesn't let you snap into it? Because I know before I couldn't snap into
I
it.
I can't let go of the fact that it's what time? 12:36?
Yeah.
And I've done nothing. I even messed up the moisturizing of the house. And there's no fire going.
But do you realize that it's usually 12:36 before I even get my
I know.
2 feet on the ground
from
bed?
And that is what I would tell my therapist is that I feel bad about myself when things don't get done.
I understand.
So days wasted. I feel like yesterday. I wasted yesterday because I had a headache. I wasted yesterday. I'm wasting today.
Because you're talking to me. No. This is the most valuable day of your life.
And
this is what
I feel
you don't realize.
Like tomorrow or the next day when someone's like, how was your trip to Vermont? And I'll be like, I sat and looked around.
Yeah. You feel pressure. Well, what you can take solace in is the fact that you're sitting with the most beautiful person you've ever met in your life.
That's true.
You're having the most stimulating conversation that you've ever
I'm
had.
I'm really just watching squirrels like acrobats on these trees.
I know. Which is way more interesting than in my conversation, genuinely.
No. But I guess I can say that is a problem of mine.
Well, I can relate in the sense that when I was driving up here, I don't like to be in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel detached and depressed. And so on the way up here, I was getting really anxious because all I'm thinking in my head is I'm getting further away from what I really want.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have 3 days of feeling detached from what I want. And then I'm going to go see my friend who's a country bumpkin after when I leave here. And I'm going to feel even more detached because I'm not like I should be in the city right now and all that stuff. So I understand that like running it's like engines kind of going like, I don't know, it's on and you got to go or something. But again, you are having
what I said at all.
Yes, it does.
No, yeah, being your mind's preoccupied.
Yes. So on my way up here, I was very anxious and preoccupied, mm-hmm. thinking this is not where I should be, like spending all of my time and all of my energy trying to get where I should be in life. But I had to step back and remind myself, as you do right now, that this is part of life. This is what colors life. In order for me to have a successful future, I mm-hmm. need to take trips like this. And you need to have days like this where you're just not on so much. So you can just be a little
right.
bit.
And I think when I first started coming on these trips, I felt the pressure of having to ski. So I would go do it.
Right.
And I was very unhappy and I didn't like it. And I felt like if I didn't do it, everyone would think I was a failure in this house.
Well, you are.
And I finally let go of that, but it's like coming back right now because everyone's out and I'm like in.
And now you're not doing what?
And I'm not even like getting exercise. I'm not even. And that is actually probably the major problem. I have a lot of problems.
You know, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
All your problems are really great problems and you're quick to solve them because yesterday you wanted to exercise. The gym, not accessible here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stairs here on the split level condo kind of thing. And you were running up and down the stairs in sneakers and like a workout outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do that. Mm-hmm. I would call it quits and be like, it's just not going to happen. But you drive yourself to. So as soon as we're done taping, you're going to pop right back into gen mode
mm-hmm.
and you'll be fine. And no one's going to know the difference or they're just going to have no respect for you
mm-hmm.
and think you're disgusting. And it probably smells like bad breath in here.
And I should have woke up and immediately went for a walk.
You should have.
And that would have made me feel better now.
It's always what
but
we're
I can
doing.
Always lie and tell them I did.
You can. But then you're never going to live it down.
Yeah.
Well, I also had the conundrum of lying and it's because the I rented skis. Oh, this is one thing I want to mention. This would just be in the social etiquette aspect of the show and the social pressure kind of stuff. I didn't tell you the story. It's not that exciting. But before I came up here, I stopped at a ski shop to see if they had any coats at a deep, deep discount. And in my head, I really was like, I'm only going to get a new coat if it's super cheap and I love it. And so I knew chances were low. Wasn't going to find that. But I went anyway. It was when Foca was getting her belly drained and I had like an hour to kill. So I walked in and the guy that was in this place was there last year and he kind of bullied me into buying the coat that I have now. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say bullied because he didn't bully me. It's I can make the decision to say yes or no to this coat. But he's very, very nice, but very, very persistent.
It's a good salesman.
Very good salesman because you like him. You don't want to disappoint someone you like. Mm-hmm. I really liked him and it was a good deal even though I didn't love the coat. It was warm. It was the end of the season. How often was I going to use it? Not often, but I needed one. So I got that coat. I was when I walked in there, you never prep as much as you think you can prep for something. You never prep all the way because I was like, oh, he's kind of pushy. You know, if he's there, I'm just going to be strong and not say. But I didn't prep for this whole like deep emotional connection we were going to make. And then to be able to say no to him there, like I feel like I was like coat assaulted mm-hmm. or like ski rental assaulted because I did not like any of the coats in there, but he's like, oh, that one looks great. And I'm just going along for being friendly. Like, oh yeah, this is really nice. And it did look nice, but it was $170 and I wasn't in love. Wasn't worth it. If it was $60, $70. Yeah. Okay. So, he said, what are your skis all ready to go for this weekend? Cause I said, and I should have given him no detail.
Yeah.
But I said, oh, I'm going to Vermont with my friend's family. So then he said, are your skis ready? And I said, well, I actually rent. I haven't really been able to justify buying skis because I only go like twice a year. And so he said, I'll rent you a pair of skis. I'll rent you all you need for $50 a day. And being a friendly, polite person, I acted like, oh, wow, thank you. Even though I had no idea how much it was going to cost to rent skis up here. So I was like, oh, you don't have to do that. Thank you so much. I was overreacting to be nice and make him feel good that he offered me that. And I said, well, let me just see how much the skis will be to rent up there. Cause if it's like $40 a day or $35 a day and you know, maybe it's not worth you being, you know, your deal, mm-hmm. whatever. So I looked online and it was $49 a day here. Mm-hmm. And he said $50 a day for him. But when he offered me to rent the skis, I felt like I was turning into like this Curb Your Enthusiasm scenario ish. Cause I said I was going Saturday and Sunday and coming back Monday. So when I said Saturday and Sunday, in his mind, I'm skiing Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so he thought $50 a day, $100.
Right.
But then I had to break the news. I said, well, I'm actually just driving up Saturday. It's like a 5-hour drive, 4.5 hours. I don't think I'll make it on time to ski Saturday. So it might just be a 1-day rental. And so then it got strange because it's now he goes, well, then just pick them up Saturday. And I said, this is like why I didn't want you to offer me anything because you're being polite and now it's becoming a pain.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to come Saturday because Vermont's is that way.
Direction.
So yeah. I'm not going to drive 25 minutes this way to then go back that way. And he's like, well, then how do I know you're not going to be using them on Saturday? I'm like, because I'm a good person.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't come in here with the scheme to get rental skis from you.
Yeah.
So. Oh, I think it's just pipes.
No, it's not pipes. It's not. Okay.
So anyway, it became a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then I said to I was like, I'm really worried about karma. Why doesn't someone follow me on Instagram and check in on me? And if I'm posting that I'm skiing 2 days, I owe you $100. But if not, so it became this really uncomfortable scenario.
Yes. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Nate. It's like, why do they have microphones and headphones on?
We're singing.
It must have been the mistletoe.
He's like, what are you doing?
We just, when we have conversations, we talk to each other through microphones. Please us. All right. We're going to do throwback.
Throwback.
Who's sadder?
Oh, okay.
All right. Who's sadder? A person who drives a Saturn or a person who wants to go to Saturn and will never go to Saturn? This is what it looks like when you're unprepared.
And you just what made pull you something think of Saturn? Because it rhymed with Satter?
No, because
it doesn't rhyme with Satter. But
because we were talking
it
about
sounds like Satter.
Maria, who I was.
She drives a Saturn.
A friend that we had in college drove a Saturn.
Oh.
I hated it. Terrible. Those are terrible cars.
Alex, would you rather drive a Saturn?
No, this is who's sadder. But you can do would you rather. That actually works.
Or
better.
have plans to go to Saturn.
Really?
Driving's in his mindset right now because he's 16.
Well, I would think for a 16-year-old, outer space would be more
of
a mindset.
Let's ask Nathan. Nathan, would you rather drive a Saturn or plan a trip to Saturn?
Wow. Do you guys even know Saturns are cars? They don't make them anymore. Okay. They stopped. Thank God, right? They did die with Pontiac.
In 08. Did you hear?
Oh, in 08. Oh, I think you said in a way.
No.
Yeah, wow, good. Good. They deserve to burn, baby. No.
Like the planet. It probably burns, right?
Yeah, I think Saturn's probably hot. But I do know a very cold planet, and that is Pluto. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculously cold.
Oh, that's not a planet anymore, though.
Pluto's not a planet?
No.
Oh, it's not. Damn it. Well, I just did that voiceover for NASA, and I said, colder than the surface of Pluto.
Oh.
So I know
Pluto
is
cold.
Well, then NASA screwed up because I shouldn't be talking about Pluto.
What is the coldest planet, Alex?
Depends on whether or not you view Pluto as a planet.
So why isn't it a planet? It's a star? Are they saying it's a star?
I'm saying it's too small to be a planet, so it's a quote-unquote dwarf planet.
Aw. Dwarf planets are people, too, and they prefer to be called little planets. Not dwarfs. Honestly, like, why would they... That's funny.
That was funny.
Thank you.
Good job.
They made that first, started calling it that in 2006.
Okay, so back in the day. So now we've probably updated it. Now
it's the little,
it's probably
little planet.
Politically correct, and it's the little planet, not the dwarf planet. Yeah. What's worse, dwarf or midget? Which sound?
Dwarf.
Which sounds worse?
I just think of, like, you know, Snow White.
Right.
How about pygmy?
What?
What?
Pygmy.
What's that?
It's another word for small.
Pygmy? Huh? No, that's worse. Now they're like compared to pigs. Because people like me, I don't know the spelling. I'm going to think pig. It's like Pygmalion.
Pygmalion, yeah. Oh, does that have to do with Pygmalion? He's like so much smarter than both of us combined.
Pygmalion, I ended up looking up recently, but I can't remember what it was, but it was on Jeopardy. The answer was Pygmalion, and I've never actually known because your brother would always say Pygmalion. It's like a play or something.
Yeah, it's a book. Well,
or a book, yeah.
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 And my brother had to read it, but my brother did always like, he called me whatever, was like a fat...
Disgusting, call you a Pygmalion,
dirty, anything. So we call me a stain.
Oh yes,
just a plain
good.
Stain.
Yeah,
just stain like that. What's worse than that? Anything than that? You're a stain.
Yeah, nothing's really worse unless you're a stain of like strawberry ice cream.
No, it's still not good.
But it's like a pleasant thing. It's not like you're a stain of poo.
That's what
I
meant.
There's a difference in stain level. I think of gross. You know.
Yeah,
but you could be skid marks. Or you could be chocolate skid, like you could be chocolate marks. They look disgusting, but one is definitely less. So this was something else that I was going to throw in. It gets a little dark. It's not going to get dark, but very interesting stuff. Not really, but kind of. So I'm writing a script.
Yeah.
And or a screenplay, if I want to sound pretentious. I ski. Mm-hmm. I write screenplays. I can be pretentious. So I'm doing research of this era.
What are you looking for?
Oh,
some headphones.
Oh, I think I know where they are.
Oh. You just jealous.
We're taking a podcast. Good kid. So I'm doing research for this script. It's based on my dad's family from like the 50s and 60s. So I'm having my dad ask around the family some questions more so than he normally would.
Mm-hmm.
My great grandfather committed suicide.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
How?
They found him in the river. And so they were Italian with some like illegal type activities. So the family had always said one or the other. It was never declared whether he was like killed by someone like because of illegal activity mm-hmm. or if he killed himself. And it's been this quiet, unspoken thing that they don't really talk about. So my grandmother would never really talk about it. No one around would indulge questions or anything, but that generation's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad went to, I feel so bad for my dad. We're now at the age for our parents that the way they see their family members is through funerals and wakes.
Yeah.
And it's almost exciting for my dad because he gets to go socialize and see his family. But it's like every time someone dies, but it's the only way we're all getting together. Everyone's getting together. It's really awful. But he had to go to a funeral recently. And so he said, yeah, I talked to so-and-so and so-and-so. It was definitely killed himself. And so he said before he was leaving, they said they're pretty sure it was a suicide because he said to the kids, remember to feed the goats. Like, more as like a consistent thing, not like I'm going to be gone for a little while, feed the goats. It was more like a lesson. Like, he took care of the goats. Remember to take care of the goats, basically. And then he never came back, and they found his body in the river across from our farm. And for a long time, the family would say they tied bricks to his feet, threw him in the river, but it was because there was shame, most likely, around the suicide. And so I've asked my dad, and he doesn't know completely, and he was very young at the time, but I've said, well, was he depressed? Like, they were, I draw this boundary in my mind of that era with, especially if they're Italian, or kind of that, like, hardworking, or just, like, working money type people, that they don't have emotions or that they're not real humans. So in my mind, I could never really grasp the fact that they might actually be able to have depression or have mental health problems. And so my dad said, yeah, you know, he's down. He was down a lot. But even my dad doesn't have any details, really, because he was really young. And I don't think he ever met his grandfather, because I think he was dead before my dad was born. But he'd be like, yeah, he was sad. He was sad a lot. And then my mom said, well, he probably couldn't take being yelled at by his wife.
Yeah.
Which his wife, my great-grandmother, was like a very controlling, intense, like, defensive lineman of a woman who just, like, didn't take shit. And I guess he was more of the, like, subdued type. So anyway, yeah, pretty sure he killed himself.
Wow.
And, you know, you wonder, I'm not killing myself, but you wonder, you know, did he actually have mental health problems? Do I have mental health problems from my great-grandfather? You never know. Could be genetic.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It is genetic. Very
fascinating. And that's why I find it very odd that you do not like The Sopranos, because there's so many parallels.
It's almost too cliche.
It's really not, though. You've not gotten into it. It's like very, like, the imagery that you, like, it's very deep.
But it's trying to be deep.
No,
just like
no.
I am right now.
No, it's actually
and
not.
And I hate myself right now.
But funny you say that's what happened to your great-grandfather. My great-grandfather fought in the Civil War.
He was on the south side of things. He
no,
was a
but
Confederate.
No, think about it. I said that.
It makes so much sense.
No. But think about it. I said that to a teacher, and they're like, no, you must be talking about your great-great-great-grandfather. And I was like, no, my great-grandfather was in the Civil War. He lied about his age. He went in when he was 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. But that also demonstrates a lot about you and me. My great-grandfather kills himself. Yours puts his life on the line for his country and to end slavery. And here we are. And it makes so much sense.
Maybe we're all just following our...
I think.
No, I would never lie about my age and put myself on the line for...
Yes, but you're much more mentally stable. I think he was a brave, strong person that did that.
Yeah, he survived.
And he survived. And he got to feed the goats. But my dad jokes, and it's always been a running joke in our family, that we're cowards.
Mm-hmm.
My dad didn't go to war, like, to Vietnam. None of his siblings did, and they didn't have to because they could claim that they were farmers. And you didn't have to go if you were farmers. You were left out of the draft.
Like your dad said he was a farmer?
They were a farm family, and so they could lean on that. But my dad didn't go because he was a farmer. My dad was, like, riding around in his, like, 69 Charger or whatever. But he, like, had, like, muscle cars and was smoking and being a rebel. It wasn't because they were farmers, but they could use that excuse. And so it's always been a joke that we're deeply, deeply cowardly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wear it like a badge of honor. I'm very brave about my cowardice.
That's great.
Sorry, Leslie. This is very strange, and I didn't even realize you were in here for a second.
This is how you podcast.
Yes. But his name, he was straight from Sicily. His name, very cool name, Calogero. Which was the name of the character in A Bronx Tale. And I always thought it was Calogero. Calogero.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out not pronounced Calogero. It's Calogero. And, So anyway,
what was his last name?
Nicastro. My great-grandmother's last name was Caruso. So she married Nicastro, and then he died. And then she married again DiMaggio.
Joe?
The baseball player. She's why Marilyn Monroe killed herself. It's so funny how things can be the same name but be the total opposite, because this DiMaggio that she married, he was like a no good nobody who sat in a chair and like died in a trailer, you know. And then there's Joe DiMaggio, who's, you know,
yeah.
I come from a long line of really hardworking, brave people. But then my mom's side is they, you know, they went to war and stuff like that. And that's why my mom hates my dad's family. No, she doesn't hate them. Just the rotten, not the right mix. Mm. You know, my mom respects bravery, not cowardice. And she's with a cowardly man. Okay. Well, again, this has been great.
Yes.
Another one for the books.
Feel free to edit me out whenever.
I will. This was just me. I just needed like a sounding board to talk at.
Yeah.
All right. I know you're under pressure.
I'm not under pressure. I got a lot done today.
When we're done, I'm going to explain that you are being influenced by me. This is not you. This is not who you are. You went on a walk this morning. And you're a go-getter.
I'm not. No, I am. Not today. I'm playing Kristen.
Yep.
I don't like it.
No, it's bad. Can't be too much of this. You got to be balanced in the lazy department.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for doing this again. No. Jen and I want to sell out arenas, and we want to sell out tours. So share the show with a friend so that we can start filling out.
Not this one.
Yeah, no, this one for me, not for Jen. I'll put the other one up so that eventually someday so that you
Kyle
can hear how good Jen is.
Come too. I mean, don't get me wrong. We want Kyle to come too. The last one that she's not showing you guys or uploading was really good for Kyle and I.
For Jen and kind of Kyle, I was terrible. And if I ever get the motivation up, I could cut in some of your good moments for a highlight reel, which I'll never do.
No, you will never do that.
Not ever. All right. Thanks for listening. Remember, rate the show 5 stars only. And if you want to get extras of the show, go to patreon.com/Kristen and Chill. But more importantly, talk about your mental health and your friends.
Push yourself a little bit this week.
Yeah.
One thing, just push through something, because every time you push through, you grow and you feel better.
Yep. Or have someone just push you.
Or just off. Push somebody in your family yeah. to the ground.
I actually like the push motion. It's very, it's like, oh, look, we're comfortable with each other. Push.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Remember, stay bored enough to listen.
But not too bored.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Testing.
Whenever I see someone less fortunate than I,
which is all the time,
and I'm looking at her
right now,
she's less fortunate than I.
I really am.
No.